There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
1,000 years ago in the Middle East, in the golden age of learning in the region, the scholar Ibn Sina, or Avicenna, moved medical science forward with his experiments and his clinical writings, and his name lives on in books and science, and also the name of the UAE's first pharmacy chain, Ibn Sina. Pleased to welcome to the studio now the CEO of that chain, Sean Curlin. Good morning to you, Sean. Thanks for coming in.
Morning, gentlemen. You're welcome.
I know your pharmacy group is not 1,000 years old, but exactly how old is it?
So our first store opened in 1965. In Nasser Square, Dubai.
The old Nasser Square, which is now Union Square, I think.
Correct,
it's the same place, yeah. How many branches have you got?
So we've got 89 now today.
All in the UAE, are they?
All in the UAE, correct.
Yeah. But you are expanding within the UAE, aren't you? What else? Where else are you adding branches?
So all across the UAE. So if you're looking at a pharmacy business, what is the difference that makes people go to one pharmacy compared to the other? It's more about location. So we're focusing ensuring we're in the main malls, we're in the local communities, and we're in the high street where the traffic is. So currently at the moment, we've got approximately 23 new pharmacies in the pipeline today.
Yeah, I always wonder about the how close together you can have pharmacies. You drive down the beach road, and it's like 100 metres apart in some cases. What's the sort of distance do you think needs to be between pharmacies that you can call your own patch?
That's a very difficult. You need to make sure you're where the traffic is. That's predominantly what's required. So you measure the number of buildings around, the communities around there, etc., that can drive that traffic into the location. But it's about more so capturing the emotion of the customer. So ensuring that we are ultimately making sure we're the first choice for a trusted family healthcare. So it's very, very difficult regarding compassion, regard location. It's about what service you offer to those customers.
Well, apart from competition, I mean, trading conditions at the moment for pharmacies, you've got extra competition, you've got VAT on discretional spend, etc. How hard is business at the moment?
We're actually performing okay. So we've got positive like-for-like currently in the business. That's why we're still pushing forward with the expansion plan.
How much is your growth then on that like-for-like?
Our growth
outlet?
At the moment is 13% positive like-for-like today. Yeah. In our business, and that's year to date.
What if you look at the pie of your pharmacy revenue, what percentage of that would come from prescription medicines and what would come from stuff that we buy, I don't know, a knee support or toothpaste?
So it very much depends on location. So if you are in a medical facility, so we have a very strong pharmacy in Healthcare City alongside Suleiman Al Habib, we would do about 80% medical there. But if you look at locations like more the Emirates, you'd have more 50-50. So it very much depends on the location.
Can I ask that same question that Richard just asked there, but in a slightly different way? He was talking about the revenue, what percentage of your revenue. But what about what in terms of profit it comes from discretional spending, foot spas, creams, makeup, heart monitors, etc.?
So you would look at approximately 60% of our profit would come from skincare. We're very strong market leaders, especially in derma cosmetic skincare. The medicines, your margin is a lot lower in that part of the business
because
it's controlled by the government.
Yeah.
Correct. But if you look at our category contribution, so 42% of our revenue comes from medicine, 22% comes from makeup and skincare, which is a very strong category for us today, moving further forward, and then 15% approximately from food supplements and vitamins.
We have a new pharmaceutical law in the country, don't we, that's going through the process at the moment and being implemented. In simple terms, what are the main features of this law for you, and what problems is it going to solve?
So with regards to the laws in place at the moment, so there's obviously controls on price that we have in the marketplace today.
The government controls the prices of prescription medicines.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the same time, what's going to help and support us with that is the new laws coming in around electronic prescriptions. So that's going to help and support us in the marketplace to ensure that doctors are prescribing the right medicines and that are right for the customer's proposition. And then we can obviously serve those, ensuring that the customer's needs are required and positioned first as a priority.
The issue of fake medicines, it's a global issue. It's an issue here as well. How big a problem is it here in the UAE, and to what extent will these new measures crack down on it?
We have very strong controls in this marketplace. The Dubai Health Authority does regular checks. They're checking our pharmacists. We have regular audits coming into our businesses to ensure that those medicines are controlled in the right way. So coming from a European background to the UAE, it's very, very strong controls here and comparable.
I've always thought almost the opposite of that, because up until, I think, relatively recently, being able to prescribe your own antibiotics and walk into a pharmacy and buy them, The trend towards self-medication was quite strong here in the UAE. I mean, I think that's changed a little bit now. I mean, but has it affected your business very much?
No, it hasn't. You know, we, again, it's an absolute regarding A. Bin Sina Pharmacy as a trusted pharmacy, ensuring that that trust is the element of everything we drive further forwards. So prescription medicine, again, you can pre-prescribe, but the controls there are absolutely in place and audited to ensure that we have the right measures, the right support for the consumer, the end result, which is followed through.
If we look at your expansion, a lot of it is into the Northern Emirates, Dubai and Abu Dhabi perhaps. Are they becoming saturated now, hence looking for new markets?
No, there's just opportunities coming up in those areas. If you look at Sharjah Co-op, they're expanding. They're opening new locations in the retail space. Those areas are becoming more developed. Our offering is very much focused on the malls, the high street and the local communities. So those areas, if you look at the expansion, the population moving to those locations, we have to follow suit.
And if we look at the in-store experience, pharmacies used to be fairly drab affairs, didn't they? They were functional spaces. You would go in and you would get your medicines and that was it. But of course, now that they are retail stores, you're having to spend a lot more time looking at the design, the look, the feel, the layout of the stores. What is the new science of pharmacy design to encourage us to spend more money for it to be a retail experience rather than just a functional experience?
Well, I think historically you looked at pharmacies, you went there because you were sick. The whole change in the pharmacy business now is about making sure we're supporting health, ongoing health. So the focus is not just pharmacy and prescription medicine, it's ensuring we have beauty products, skincare products. It makes sure that we're supporting the local community around obesity, lifestyle, diabetics. So it's more informational. It's making sure that we're bringing into play as well the IT element, ensuring that people have the opportunity to look up what their certain requirements are and we can then obviously support their needs as well. But it's about also allowing those customers to go into an environment that responds to health. It's a calming environment. There's not an aggressive sales pitch. It allows people to look at their future health benefits as well.
I don't know whether it's just me and getting old, really, but I'm spending more time in pharmacies than I used to. And I think it's partly because of the sort of the shopping, the wide range of products that you can do there. I mean, are there any limits on what you can sell and what you can't sell in a pharmacy?
You still have to get certain categories signed off, and that's why there's very strong controls in the local marketplace. But there's no restrictions. But I think you've got to
so
be.
You
very
could have a little burger outlet in the corner because you
could
if you
have,
wanted
you
to.
You could have a coffee shop. You have a kids' play area. There's lots of different opportunities. Even if you look at places like the UK, you could serve the food like Boots would do, etc. But you've got to be very, very careful. We're going towards absolutely a trusted environment for consumers. We don't want to have the aggressive sale. We want to focus on the emotion of the consumer to ensure when they come into a Bin Sina pharmacy, they're coming in to get advice. They're coming in to be listened to, ultimately, and ensure we meet those consumer needs, not aggressive selling and worrying about what different categories. So we're ensuring, if you look at the new category moving further forward today, is obviously sport. You know, there's a huge area of growth in that area, but you've got to make sure that you're focused on the needs of the consumer, not trying to push product down them.
One sort of characteristic, I suppose, of a pharmacy in this part of the world is that you can actually talk to the pharmacist and have a conversation and ask what they would prescribe for things, which you don't necessarily do overseas, particularly where prescriptions are well monitored. Here, it's a little bit more flexible. You can talk to a pharmacy and get advice. How do you ensure that your pharmacists are well enough trained, have got the character to be able to do that?
Well, I think if you look at ensuring you've got sustainable growth, training and investment in training and retaining talent is key. You know, we make sure that we hire the best caliber of pharmacists and healthcare professionals that are out there in the marketplace today, but there is constant training supported as well by our partners who are the principals. On a weekly basis, there is training taking place to ensure product knowledge is in line. There's online training, there's classroom training, and it's maintained all the time.
Sean, let me ask you about different elements of your business. As well as heading up Bin Sina Pharmacy, you're the chief executive of Al Hayat Investments, which is a diversified company based here in the UAE. You've got retail, contracting, as well as Bin Sina Pharmacies. You've got Superdry, the clothing brand, Burger Fuel, the restaurant chain. You said a pharmacy business is doing well, but everything we hear about retail in the UAE over the last 2 or 3 years is that it has been challenging. What trends are you seeing in your other retail businesses?
So it's definitely challenging in the marketplace, but you need to make sure that you put certain actions in place to deal with those challenges. I've come from a large retail business from Saudi Arabia across to Dubai. At the moment, our performance is positive across all aspects. There's opportunity for growth. You just got to make sure that you target the right locations and the right areas as well as the right brands.
Does that mean getting out of some of the wrong locations as well?
So we have. You know, we have as a business, we've had to close locations, and you've got to make sure that in business you're doing things for the right reason. You know, you're removing the vanity and you're making sure you're doing things to ensure you're driving the profitability of the business.
That's an interesting idea. Can you give me an example of some of the locations or areas that you've pulled out of?
So we closed one of our brands, which was Fortnum & Mason in Dubai Mall. It wasn't working, unfortunately, for certain reasons. We've made sure we've taken that money, invested it in the right areas, the growth opportunities, because if you look at our food business, for example, we have two very strong homegrown brands. So we've got Nar, which is our own brand, as long as been Sina, and Cafe d'Aroma, which is a coffee brand, which you know through Lavazza, is also a very good growth potential. So we're investing in those areas today.
People texting in, I had said earlier that your first branch was that Nassau Square was Union Square, but it was Banias Square, Union Square, just around the corner, of course. Somebody else says, when I went to a doctor in a reputed hospital here, gave a course of 3 months instead of 1 month for a particular product, and they ask, how do you control overdose or use of substitutes?
So that's why the government themselves are putting in place electronic prescriptions. That will remove the doctors and then the pharmacists, ensuring they actually deliver the medicine that's prescribed. That's the way we will deal with that.
Do you sometimes feel that things are overprescribed here? I mean, do your pharmacists say to you, look, hang on, we're getting a ridiculous amount of subscriptions from this hospital, that hospital, that doctor?
No, I don't get that sense in the marketplace today. No.
Well, thank you very much, Niamh, for coming in to CIS. We look forward to having an update in the near future, and good luck with all of your expansion. Sean Curlin, the CEO of Bensina Pharma. See, we do appreciate it, and good luck with your expansion.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.